Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 6, where we left off last time. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 6. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come each Sunday, 5 p.m. We broadcast live this radio program, and then I pray for you. And then come on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. I teach another book of the Bible, and then we pray for you and we pray for America. On Thursday, Scott meets me here from 12 to 2, and we pray for the world. You may give us your prayer request beforehand. You may call in or walk in. We'll pray for you. And don't forget to tell people about the radio program every Saturday morning, 91.5 FM. Gather people over at your house and have a little breakfast there. This is a chance for you to gather people and witness to them. And don't forget the worldwide podcast. You can get WMIEFM.com all over the world anytime you want with Trumpet Truth on it. So many books of the Bible. And now, Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. For those of you who missed last time, let me give you a little recap. Beside a week has passed, you've forgotten what happened. Jonah's name in the Hebrew means dove, and a dove is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jonah had the anointing of God. He was called of God as a prophet. He loved God. God loved Jonah, and Jonah always obeyed God. But God gave him an assignment that was emotionally too tough for Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, and preach to those heathen barbarian people the salvation of the Lord. In other words, tell them the gospel. There's going to be a Messiah come and pay you sin debt with his blood. Why don't you repent and get saved? Because God says, Jonah, they've been suffering for 18 years. 18 is a number of bondage, and they're crying out to me. For the first time in his life, Jonah disobeyed. He did not obey God. He went and bought him a ship fare to Tarshish. But run, little gingerbread man. You cannot outrun God's outstretched hand. God sent a storm, and it looked like everybody was going to die. So Jonah told the sailors, throw me overboard, and the storm will cease. They reluctantly did that, and the storm ceased, and they believed in God. But Jonah went all the way down to the bottom of the mountains. It means he died because he didn't have an oxygen tank with him. You understand? But God had prepared a big fish. Now, this means that God designed one. It wasn't just any old fish. So you don't have to call it a whale. It's a big fish. God is a designer. He's an artist. I call it a designer fish, okay? Just for Jonah. Jonah wakes up, and he's in the belly of a fish, and he stays there 3 days. Jonah's so glad to be alive and that God still loves him that he says, I'm so sorry. He said, the reason I didn't go, I read in your Bible in 2 Kings that later on the Assyrians are going to turn bad again and they're going to capture Jonah's people, the 10 tribes of Israel. So Jonah was willing to die an eternal death because he figured God would kill his mortal soul. Rather than hurt his people. He loved his people enough to die for his people. Jonah is a type of Jesus. And then remember that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, he said, you're trying to seek of a sign, you evil and adulterous generation. He said, the only sign you're going to get is that of Jonah the prophet, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We know that when Jesus gave up the ghost, they put his body in the tomb, but his spirit went to Sheol, to hell, to the grave, and preached to all those souls all the way back to Noah, meaning all the way from the beginning, really, and gave them a chance to be saved. So, as soon as Jonah in the fish's belly repents, says, God, I'll obey you, that designer fish, God said, bring, you push a little button there like I do for Google or say something there, and the fish vomits Jonah out onto dry ground. Thank goodness. What a sweet thing for God to do. What if he'd landed in the mud? He'd had too much water. Now, the interesting thing is the people of Nineveh worship the fish god, Dagon. And when they saw a big fish and a man who had to have died in there come out alive. They were easy converts. So we left off with Jonah obeying God, walking and talking around a city that contained 120,000 people, 60 miles in circumference. That's what you call walking the walk and talking the talk. And he was saying, salvation is of the Lord. See, it's the same thing we're having today. Once you get saved, the Lord Jesus paid the sin debt. Salvation is of the Lord. And we left off last week with the people hearing him, paying attention because of that big fish. And they started to put on sackcloth. Now, you can tell when a Christian gets serious about work for God, they're going to pull out the fasting weapon. You have in your arsenal all kinds of tools to get you through life victoriously and win every battle that comes your way. The first is the Word of God, which is the one most Christians do not know. You won't go where you hear the Word. You won't memorize the Word. You'll say everything. You'll read a poem. You'll do this. You'll do that. Just the Word of God is your greatest tool. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, thanksgiving, giving, and fasting. When a Christian says they're going to fast for you or anything, it means I mean business. So the people meant business. They wanted to live. And now, that's where we left off. Let's pick it up. Chapter 3, verse 6. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 6. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh. Oh, there's a majestic king in there. Now, those dictator types don't pay attention to the peasants. They never do what the peasants say because they make the peasants work for them. But look, he heard the word of God too. Heathen, barbaric, when they captured people, they sliced them and diced them. And he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him. My goodness, he's going to take off his kingly apparel. He's going to say, I need God just as much as my raggedy little people need God.
Covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes.
And sat in ashes, meaning I'm going to fast from food and feast on God because I'm nothing but dirt. Ashes to ashes, dirt to dirt.
7. And he caused it to be and published Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles.
Now he sends out a decree by all of his nobles. He's going to send out a message to all of his people, the king is.
Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not eat nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth.
He's calling a nationwide fast. In other words, we've got one chance to save our nation. Everybody knows that it's something about fasting that's spiritual, even the heathen. In other words, let your animals fast too, because we don't want to give Satan one tiny little doorway here to enter in. So you might have been fasting, but you might have had another foot open door or something going on your cell phone that it shouldn't have been, or some thought or some idea, something you left out that messed up your fashion. This king wasn't going to do it. He loved his people enough that he wanted everybody to do the same thing. You know, I couldn't help but think of Kim Jong-un because I prayed so hard for him that he would see Jesus in President Donald Trump because he's a human being. See, what people call a barbarian, what they call a third world person, everybody needs Jesus. And so I couldn't help but think, look how this hard king's heart is open to God. That can happen to Kim Jong-un.
Mightily unto God, yea. Let them turn every one from his evil ways.
Wouldn't you just love to have somebody? Come on, President Trump. America, you know what your problem is. You're a greedy bunch of people. You're taking the Bible out of our Constitution. You're loving sex all the time, and you're loving money all the time, and you're filled with hate all the time, and you're trying to make another God. You know what your problem is? You're evil. I want all of you to repent of your sins, confess your sins. Stop it right this minute.
And from the violence that is in their hands.
And from the violence. Now remember that before they got converted, the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians, they were violent in their treatment of their captives. If you can think a little bit in discernment right now, you will see that God is preparing and softening their hearts to have compassion at that future time when, yes, they will capture the 10 tribes, but they'll be more humane, so the 10 tribes will last. And I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes.
Who can can tell that God will turn and repent
and turn away from his fierce anger. Now, what Jonah had been saying, salvation is the Lord. If you repent of your sins, God will save you. If not, he's going to destroy Nineveh. Actually, that's what Jonah wanted, because it was destroyed, then that prophecy would never come true. In 2 Kings, it said that the Assyrians were going to capture God's children. And so, anyway, the king says maybe God will repent. Now, God does not sin, so he doesn't have to repent. When we, as human beings, use the word repent, that means we stop right then and we stop it. You hear a person say, I accepted the Lord Jesus, but I'm still drinking, I'm still doing drugs, I'm still cussing, I'm still doing pornography. No, you didn't repent. Repent means you stop right then. You say, I don't have the will. No, you don't, but Jesus does. See, I've led too many people to the Lord. You don't have to go on the rest of your life being an alcoholic, a drug addict. When you repent, you stop, and then he gives you the strength. Now, you say that's radical. Yes, Christianity is radical. God died for us.
We perish not.
So he says, maybe God will change his mind and will forgive us. He's hoping in the compassion of God. This is a king who needs a soft touch. Be kind. Everybody you meet's got a heavy load.
And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way.
And God's watching this show. He's got a lot invested here. Wow, they repented. Their works were that they stopped their sinning. What they were doing, they quit. They turned on a dime. In other words, any of you out there living with someone of the opposite sex and you're not married, if you hear this and you say that you want to repent, you have to move out of that right this minute. If you're an alcoholic, you have to stop that right this minute. You have to give up your drugs, give up your pornography, give up your lying, give up your cheating, give up your stealing right now. And God will help you and give you the strength to take the next step. So, he said, stop it right now.
And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do.
So God did not do that. He did not destroy them. See, God always keeps his word, but this was one of those ifs. If you will repent, I won't destroy you. If you don't repent, I will destroy you. So America, if you'll confess your sins and repent, America can be great again and holy again and Christian nation again, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if you don't repent, you're going to turn yourself over to socialism. Communism means the devil.
And he did it not. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry.
Okay, Jonah sees this, and remember, he's already read the scripture in 2 Kings, that later on, a few more generations, that although Nineveh repented, they're going to turn bad again and capture the 10 tribes of Israel. So he hates that. He feels he failed his people. He's so angry about the whole situation, it's impossible. He's not angry at God. He's not angry at the people. He's just angry at the situation. He feels he failed his people. He was willing to die eternally for his people. Do you imagine what Jesus would have felt like if something had prevented him from going to the cross and he came to die for his people? See, when we do what God has sent us to do, then we're happy. So he felt that he had failed his people. Now, most of you think that if a person's angry, they're sinning. No, Paul himself says, be angry and sin not. And remember, Jesus got angry at the money changers in the temple. They were selling those little mite-infested doves there to offer as pure doves and pure sacrifices. He turned the money changers over, made a cat of nine tails, and beat them to a pulp. Good for Jesus. Righteous indignation. It's about time the Christians in the United States of America got mad. We need to fire Robert Shuler right now and Jim Coney and all of this mess. This needs to stop. This is unconstitutional. This is against the law. And we need to have all over this land a Jonah or a Jonahette walking and a talking and saying, salvation is of the Lord. America confess. America repent. Stop your wicked ways. And if you don't want to live in a Christian, go back where you came from. We are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and hear his word in this land. Don't you want to hear that?
Yes.
We can have that.
Amen.
And he prayed unto the Lord and said,
this my saying?
I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country?
Didn't I tell you you were going to be good, God? Here is Jonah. He's very upset. He feels he failed his people. He knows the prophecy is going to come true. Lord, I told you the reason I was running was because you're so kind. You're so good. You're so merciful. You love everybody. When they repent, you're going to be so good and you're going to forgive them. Can you imagine how God felt? He said, Jonah's trying to be mad at God, but said, Jonah's saying, you're so good, you're so kind. I just knew you'd forgive them, God. Jonah's a little bit in a trauma. Now, if you've ever had trauma, my life's been traumatic. We're not talking about a little bit of trouble or a toeache or a headache here. We're talking about where your whole life's wiped out and you got to keep going on. So he is traumatized, and guess what? God knows it. God never was mad at Jonah because he looked on his heart. He knew that Jonah loved his people, and Jonah was willing to die eternally to save his people. I mean, you can't get mad at somebody like that. After all, that's the way God is, because he gave his son.
I fled therefore unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God.
See, I told you you're gracious.
And merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil.
See, I knew you were going to forgive him. Now, normally Jonah wouldn't mind that. But remember, he knows these people are going to turn evil after a couple of generations and capture Jonah's people, the 10 tribes of Israel.
3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me.
He was so discouraged, he didn't feel like living anymore. One thing that happens when you give your all to Jesus and you know you're called, when you get out from under his will, nothing else is exciting. You may try to go back to the things that used to excite you. The only thing exciting to you is the most exciting thing in the whole wide world, God Almighty. And if that excitement has been lost because of disobedience or a disappointment, then who would want to live? Once you have tasted of the glory of God, you could not bear anything else. If you ever move into the realm of the heart of Jesus, you'll never be the same, and you couldn't stand to go back. So he didn't want to live anymore. If you've lost your purpose, you do kind of despair of life, don't you? Somebody said most people go through life just completely dead.
For it is better for me to die than to live. For then...
Now, he's not contemplating suicide. He just means his life is over. He's depressed. God knows he's traumatized. Now, you know, we're going to watch Jonah, how he handles this, but I want you to watch God. God is the greatest psychiatrist in all the world. God knows that Jonah's been traumatized. I've had times I knew God knew I was traumatized. You're traumatized. God knows you're traumatized. He knows how to deal with that. God knows how to bring you out of that. Let's watch the goodness of God as he sticks with Jonah and doesn't get upset at Jonah, but helps Jonah through this dark time.
Lord, dost thou well to be angry?
It's okay for you to be angry, Jonah, says God. It's good for you. Get it out of your system. Go ahead, yell all you want to.
5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth.
A booth, a Hebrew word is sukkoth. When the children of Israel were freed from slavery in Egypt, when they tried to celebrate the Passover in the wilderness, they would make themselves little booths to say that God was their temple. Actually, in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel, they still do that. They'll have nice, luxurious homes, but outside they'll build them a little booth. What it means is that they go into the shadow of the Almighty. They go into the temple of God. It's symbolic. So, see, Jonah is traumatized, and he needs something. He hasn't slept. He hasn't eaten. He's been in the belly of a fish 3 days. He's been walking 60 miles circumference all over this city. And so he needs some kind of little comfort. So he tries to make him a little shack.
And sat under it in the shadow.
He was looking for a shadow because he remembered, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He needed God's shadow.
That he might see what would become of the city. 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head.
See, God knew what he was looking for. The gourd becomes the shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, Jonah was trying to get back there, shall abide under the shadow. Now, it takes many weeks to grow such a gourd, but God, this is another design of gourd. That's a design of fish, a design of gourd. Now, some years ago when I had 20/20 vision, I was reading a good Christian book about nutrition, and it said that God is so good that he would make vegetables and some fruits in the shape of the body part. In other words, say beets or something. In other words, whatever the shape of the vegetable, and it's good for that part of your body. Well, we know that a gourd can kind of look like a bottle. The top part is the head, and the bottle part is the neck. You see the neck there. And so the gourd is the head. So God says, what's God doing? God is preaching the gospel. God always preaches the gospel. He is the gospel, and he's reminding Jonah of it. So he says, look, Jonah, here's the shadow. It's the head, the Almighty. I'm right here, Jonah,
to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd.
God gives us a tip on helping traumatic people. When they're in trauma, do something to make them comfortable. It might be a new pillow. It might be a blanket. It might be a cup of tea or some chicken soup. A beautiful gourd that looks the shade of a head with the blossoms and the leaves. And all it came up all in a moment. That's something that can reach you and you can see it.
7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smote it.
Now look at that. All right, we got the head there. We got the gourd. That's the head, the shadow. Jesus is the head. And then, remember, God's preaching the gospel. Okay, the head came. The worm is called a crimson worm, and it was the worm from which they made red dye in Bible times. You can't help but think of Psalm 22. Jesus looks down at his body on the cross. He finds he is covered with red blood, and he says, I am but a worm. I look like I have been dipped in the dye of the worm, the dye made from the crimson worm, the blood. So God preaches the gospel. Jonah, here's the head. And it looks like the head is dead because the blood was shed. When the blood is shed, the head is dead. Now what do we do?
Gourd that it withered. 8. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah.
Okay. Now Pastor Murray says God's thumping his gourd. But here's what it is. God so loved the world, he gave his son. Jesus is the head of the body. Jesus died because he shed his blood for the remission of sins. And then Jesus was willing to take the fervent heat of all our sins. All of the sins of mankind beat fervently upon Jesus in there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He took the heat.
He fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live.
Bit by bit, it's coming into Jonah. Remember, Jonah, I called you to preach the gospel.
9. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?
Do you think you need to be so angry about the gourd? I can understand about your people, but the gourd, Jonah?
And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. 10. Then
Jonah's having to work through this. God is very patient. In other words, God knows he's traumatized and he knows why. If you notice, God could thump his gourd, but he doesn't. God's not a wimp. He's not letting Jonah get away with impertinence. He just understands that Jonah is grieving. I'm sure they have a lot in common.
Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, either madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. 11. And should not I spare Nineveh,
that great city, therefore are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 people in that city lost, that cannot discern between their right hand nor their left hand. Or as my mother would say, they don't know when to come in out of the rain. And also much cattle. And look at all of the cattle. If you don't care about the people, don't you care about the animals, Jonah? Well, I can assure you that now Jonah knows the rest of the story. As in all things that God tells you to do, do not question, just do it. God knows more than you do. Because see, now Jonah knows that that prophecy came true. It is true. Sennacherib, the Assyrian of the capital of Nineveh, captured the 10 tribes, the house of Israel. And our forefathers migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, settled into Scotland, Ireland, and England, the throne. And we had a spat and came across the pond, the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada and these United States of America. One of those direct descendants of the 10 tribes is speaking to you now. So see, God had a plan. God needed at the end time, and we're at the end, he needed the United States of America to house the 10 tribes of Israel so that there would be a cross to go up from this nation and would say, we worship one God only through Jesus Christ the Lord, one Bible, one Holy Spirit, one nation under God. Amen. To preach the gospel to the whole wide world. That was the rest of the story. Jonah knows it now, and I know that Jonah will live happily ever after. God bless you. Let's have a hand clap for Jonah. So don't ever doubt when God tells you to do something. Just get up and do it. It's going to be good. So trust God. Next week, we'll begin a brand new book. I'm going to teach the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to get to tell you the seven trumpets, the seven seals, the signs of the end. I'm going to get to tell you about planting the seeds of God's Word in people's lives. And I'm going to get to tell you about laying hands on the sick and they recover. And about this death and life and the power of the tongue. And most of all, we're going to get to love and worship the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce you to a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I mean, that's awesome. Another book finished, too, for people to go online and to listen to.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. Okay, our first question. Should the elect be afraid of the soon coming Antichrist?
The elect should not be afraid of the soon coming Antichrist. Remember, the Antichrist comes before Jesus. And I'll get to tell you that in Mark and explain it. I'll do some cross-reference with Revelation. We should not be afraid, but we should be sober about it. It is your destiny. That's why you're living right now if you're an elect. It doesn't matter what age you are, 5 or 105. In other words, the elect, the ones that God chosen, the first earth agent, our spiritual body, who fought for God, he's got here now because he can trust you. You don't have to be afraid because he says not one hair of your head shall be harmed. You should look forward to it, to know that this is high and holy calling. Since half of the church is going to be deceived and the whole world will be deceived, what an honor that you get to be in Antichrist's face and let the Holy Spirit speak through what he will, like he did Jonah. And it says, and then the gospel shall be heard in the whole wide world. I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to do that. The devil's going to pay for that worldwide media. That's great. And it says, and then shall the end come. No, you should not be afraid. You should say, bring it on. Because as Scott was telling me earlier, the sooner that we deal with this and the Antichrist, he's not going to kill you. Only the two witnesses will die, so don't be afraid. You're going to get worldwide fame. I bet some of you want that. As soon as he does that, then Jesus is coming. So we're that much closer to Jesus. No, elect are like Jonah. We're not cowards. We just have a noble heart. You keep a noble heart.
Amen.
Okay, now David left his stuff in the car, he put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The unearthed jewels shall be filled like bowls covered in Christ's blood as the corners of the altar. They have been saved for this day as the flock of his people. They shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land.
That is beautiful. Amen. The unearthed stones, that's the very elect. And for such a time, we're unearthed right now. They don't see us. We just look like we're clothed in dirt. But then there are going to be trials. The whole world will see this. And we're going to be unearthed. We're going to shine like jewels as the Holy Spirit speaks to us before the Antichrist. And then the gospel shall Amen. Be heard. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But let me pray for those of you who want to be saved. Pray this with me and mean it. Please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash all my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash all my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
Give me a pure heart and clean hands.
Give me a pure heart and clean hands.
Keep my motivation right with you.
Keep my motivation right with you.
I love you.
I love you.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that and meant it, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes, so feel free to call me and tell me that you accepted him, and I will pray for you. Now, for those of you who are sick, precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the currents of radiating light of Jesus, lustrous, shining, healing virtue, pour into people from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, into the cells and the bones and joints and marrow. In other words, moving, reforming the skeleton, taking away disease, repairing, restoring. Cancers have no power. Reparation where cancer was. Blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, lame legs walk. Pain be gone. Diabetic nerve pain be no more in Jesus' name. He makes your bones strong. Not one of them is broken. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you received that miracle, then feel free to let us know that too. God bless each of you. And don't forget, Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesdays 6 p.m., Thursdays, you can call in for prayer, walk in, or just get us the prayer. Scott and I will be here from 12 to 2. And tell everybody about WMIFM.com. Let's get this word out to the whole wide world while I'm still here to do it. Okay? God bless all of you. Now, Jesus said that he said, thy word is truth, John 17:70. His name is called the word of God. And then he said, thy word is truth. Now, not one thing is ever given to you to keep. See, Christians are the most selfish people in the world. We just hoard things for ourselves. No, give it away. God will give you something else. I have built my life on this principle. It always works. And so these truths are too precious. These are jewels. Unearth those jewels, as Scott Stuff said. Unearth those jewels and let them pour out of your mouth this week to someone, and God will give you more. So remember this about Jesus, that he wants you to go and tell, so go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, say we love you. We thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, miracles and direction in your life. May you bear much fruit for the glory of God. Peace be still in Jesus' name. Now remember this, everybody, until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth. Thank you.
listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
I'm a brand new man, I'm a conscious man, I'm a man who's burning for you. The mistakes I made, I've been chased away to the bottom of the ocean blue. I'm a brand new man in a foreign land, I'm a man who's feeling that fire. And it's all so clear when I'm standing here at the peak of my desire. So won't you move me like you used to? I want the world to know I'd burn for you. Sweat those ghosts in my head, had a grip but I slipped on by. It's a whole new day as the darkness fades and the sun's climbing in the sky. I can see my love that I need your love, I'm before you a broken man. And it's only you, no substitutes, who can renew this soul again. So won't you move me like you used to? I want the world to know I burn for you. Got me believing I could save the day. I'm up and running like there ain't no tomorrow. I'd rather burn for you than fade away. I'd rather burn for you than go my way.
I'm a whole new guy with a whole new fire. Change inside, more flame in the fire. Can't stop, won't stop, brand new design. Like the bunny on the screen feels so energized. Old shell gone without a trace, new face. No more shortness of breath, new pace. Live life now without a taste, get fear. Toby Mac, double touch, now let the smoke clear.
Shower it with wisdom. Slide. step that you have died. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in reply. For you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in return. For this life that you give, and for this death that you have died. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in reply, Lord. And our love will be loud. Our love will be strong. Our love should be hands and feet that serve you in this world. So let it stay true.
WMIE, Brevard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
To the King, my greatest love and light, I hand you everything. Glory, glory, I hear the angels say. Open my ears, let me hear your voice to know that sweet sound. Sweet sound, oh my soul.
Inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Eternal God, unchanging, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing, in grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight around your glorious throne. They raise their voices day and night in praise to you.